Well, as we continue in our series on marriage and the family, again, as I said before, inevitably, as you speak on marriage and the family, you alienate somebody. But we do all have a family. We are all a family knit together in Christ Jesus. And the heart of this sermon series is not to do that, but to encourage us in the Word of God, because we all have nieces, nephews, cousins, grandchildren, and so on. So we all have family members where this can definitely apply. But I am speaking to also parents and grandparents to encourage them in the Word of God in the midst of this series. I grew up in a small farm north of here, about an hour and a half or so, and one of the more fun times that I had is when I got to let the calves out in the spring. We had a small pen where they would stay. We had re-raised primarily Holsteins, and actually showed them in 4-H and did all the fair stuff and state fair stuff, and that was a lot of fun. But one of the more fun things that I had the honor of doing is I'd load them up in a trailer, and I'd bring them down to our pasture, and I'd let them go. And when they got out of that trailer, it was amazing. They'd kick and they'd dance and they'd run around and they'd frolic. And it reminds me of what the Lord says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. Can anybody say amen? Amen. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall. Those who are in Christ Jesus have this freedom. The wide open spaces we just sang about in that worship song, and watching those cows get in that wide open spaces, it was almost like it was the first time they'd ever seen it. There was an excitement and there was a frivolity and this genuine childlikeness aspect to it that I just loved. And I'd sit and watch them for hours, and it's amazing that they never got bored of kicking and running around in circles. The freedom that they displayed just exuded joy. And that freedom that we have in Christ Jesus should do the same. We should be like those calves that have been freed from the stalls in the freedom of Christ Jesus, allowing God to instill and inspire joy, gratitude, and humility in our lives, especially when we think about discipleship in the home. I remember as we first got married, I didn't do very well in this area at all. There was a lot of times I felt very inadequate to do it. My knowledge of Scripture was very small. But as God began to work in me and my heart, thankfully there were many tools that I used for my children. One tool I would highly encourage fathers and grandfathers to do, especially if you feel like you're just starting out and you don't know where to begin, is Luther's Small Catechism. It goes through the Ten Commandments, through the Lord's Prayer and the Apostles' Creed in a way that you really don't have to prepare for much. And it's amazing that when you step into that role as a teacher, it's amazing how much you learn yourselves. It's a blessing, it's an honor, and a privilege. And the joy that we talked about, when we remind ourselves of that wonderful scripture, the joy of the Lord is our strength. It is our joy and our song. It has become our salvation, as it says in Isaiah chapter 12. It's echoed all throughout the Psalms. The joy of the Lord is our strength. That joy inspires us and enables us and equips us to become the parents and the grandparents that God has called us to be. The joy of passing down from generation to generation the wonderful pearl of great price. The saving gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the greatest treasure this universe has ever known. Are we excited in our homes to preach to teach our children and our grandchildren the holy word of God, the gospel of Christ? I love what Leland Ryken says. He says this in the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery in regard to teaching and instructing people in the Word of God. It says this: the responsibility for passing on the faith from one generation to another is evident in the New Testament. Parents have a major role in this. And then he quotes Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, which says, fathers, let that sink in. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. All throughout the Proverbs it says, my son and daughter, listen to your father's teaching, grab hold of your mother's teaching. It reminds us that the primary role of making disciples in the body of Christ begins in the home, and it begins with parents and grandparents. Can we do this in our own strength? And the answer is absolutely not. Apart from Christ, we can do But because we are in Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ Jesus, you have been set free. Please help me out here. When the Son sets you free, you are free. And like those excited calves shooting out of the stalls, we as parents, grandparents, and the body of Christ should be excited to pass on the greatest gift this universe has ever seen, the salvation that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God's holy word. We're going to find ourselves in Deuteronomy chapter 6. We remind ourselves that Israel had just been freed from their bondage, and as we are in Christ Jesus, we too have been freed from our bondage. Deuteronomy chapter 6, beginning in verse 4, reading in Christ's name. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And these words that I command to you today should be on your heart. You should teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Lord, I thank you that you remind us that not only are you a jealous God, but the word of God should be and remain central in all of our homes. Lord, we know that we cannot do this without you. And so, Lord, I do pray that you would inspire and encourage us, resting and trusting in the freedom of Christ, allowing the Holy Spirit to inspire us today. And may you do so through the power of your holy word. I selfishly pray that every single word that proceeds from my mouth is from you and not from me. And I pray, Jesus, that you would receive all the glory, honor, and praise. I pray all of this in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated. And so as we look at the first two verses of our text, we see that the Lord must come first in our homes. The Lord must come first in our homes. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your might. And as we think about this, let's think of the context. Israel had just been freed from the bondage and slavery that they experienced in the land of Egypt, and they were now on their way to the promised land. That is each one of us in Christ Jesus. This life in Christ, in this sinful world, is our wilderness wandering on our way to the promised land, the eternal kingdom of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. This totally applies to us today, that in Christ Jesus, Jesus has indeed led the second exodus out of the bondage of sin, death, and the power of the devil. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Boy, that was really kind of poor. We're like calves in the stall jumping around. When the Son sets you free, help me out, you are. If we can't get excited here, it's not going to happen anywhere. Brian, I don't have that excitement. And I hope that you know me well enough and you can talk to my kids and my wife. This isn't an act. I'm an introvert. I kind of normally hate people. I always ask God, I'm like, why'd you call me to be a pastor? I don't even like people. But I love Jesus. I love Jesus. But can I tell you that I didn't have that excitement either? For a long time in our marriage, I didn't put the Lord first. But there came a moment when I had to make a choice in the power of God's Holy Spirit. Am I going to allow God to mold me into the man that he's called me to be, or am I going to shrink and follow the ways of the world? And so I can show you how it worked for me, and I don't mean this as an act, or I'm not trying to manipulate any one of you, but I just literally got on my knees and said, God, give me a desire for your word to teach my children. Please. It didn't happen overnight. But it did happen. God, give me a desire to teach the word of God to my children because you've called me to do it. And I remember that the scripture, ask anything in Christ's name according to his will, and he will grant it. And he did. And without that excitement, I honestly wouldn't be standing here. Because my excitement overshadows my introversion. And so a lot of you really probably can't believe I'm an introvert, but just talk to my family. Talk to Tim. Give me a cup of coffee and a book, and I'm good for hours. My sabbatical exists of a no-speaking vow for 7 days with no media and only books. And I leave there energized like a calf leaving the stall. And so you got to find what energizes you and what speaks to your personality. But we are to be that way. We are to make the Lord first in our homes. Again, we do not do this because we have to. We do this because we get to in the freedom of Christ Jesus. And I would encourage all of you that if it's a get to and not and I want to, that you pray that it becomes and I want to. I want to do this. I want to do this because Jesus is worthy. I want to do this because I am free in Christ Jesus. I want to do this because when the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. I want to do this because God has called me to this. I want to do this to honor Christ in my life. As a parent, a grandparent, an uncle, an aunt, a sister, a brother, an uncle, an aunt, on and on and on. Lord, give me a desire to teach your holy word to my family. Leads us right into the next thing. As we place the Lord first in our homes, the Word of God must be central in our homes. As we continue in our text in verse 6 on, it says, "And these words I command you today," it's all preserved here in these 66 love letters to us, preserved in the power of the Holy Spirit. "And these words that I command you today, they shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children." Do you think that God's speaking to the pastors here? No, he's speaking to the children of Israel. He's speaking to the body of Christ. "Teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down, when you rise." Meaning you should do it at every part of the day. From morning until evening, the Word of God remains central in your home, and the Lord remains the most important person in your home. You have to fight for this because in our selfish nature, in our sinful nature, this is contrary. A lot of times we just want to sit and drool in front of Netflix and kind of binge the latest movie, right? A lot of times it's like, oh, I don't want to wake up 10 minutes early and get up and do devotions with my kids. Can I tell you, I actually love that and I get excited about that? I love it. I look forward to it every single morning. I think my excitement for it kind of annoys my kids sometimes. Why are you so happy? It's early. But I'm kind of like a calf leaving the stall. I love the Word of God. And I prayed for that intentionally. It did not come naturally. I think a lot of times as we go to church and we do this on a week-by-week basis, hopefully most of you do, I think a lot of times we kind of see the church is kind of either a country club or like some kind of fitness center. I tell this to all of the parents being baptized. I reminded it to my son as his baptism of his daughter will be coming up here in a couple months, that it is the primary responsibility of the dads and moms to train their children in the Word of God. I say that nicely. It is my job, my calling, and my privilege to equip you for the work of the ministry, and the work of the ministry begins in your homes and your children. The family was designed to be the primary place where disciples of Christ are made and formed, fostered, and nurtured. In the nicest way I can say this, that is not my role as a pastor. My role as a pastor is to equip you for that. It's an honor. I've had the honor and the privilege of teaching my kids confirmation. And I say this nicely, but they knew the answers before they got into confirmation because I taught them. Did that passion come naturally? No, it didn't. I wish I could say, yes, it did, but it didn't. And I failed in it very early in our marriage. But God brought me lovingly to a crossroad and empowered me with His Holy Spirit and enabled me to choose this day whom I was going to serve, me, myself, and my career, or would I serve the Lord and grab hold of the honor and the privilege of teaching my children the Holy Word of God? And so as we think about this, I want to talk about 4 ways in which we can keep God's Word central in our homes, 4 ways in which we can keep God's word central in our homes. Rest, worship, genuine excitement, and consistency. Rest, worship, genuine excitement, and consistency. Rest might not be what you think it is. It is resting in the completed work of Christ. I remember hearing a sermon like this when I was not walking as a spiritual leader in my home, and I was extremely convicted. But can I tell you, I was so thankful that as the preacher began to preach, the thing that was brought to my mind was the "when the Son sets you free, you're free indeed." This is not meant to be a manipulative sermon that makes you leave here guilt and shamed because you're not good enough as a dad, a grandpa, a mom, a grandma, aunt, uncle, and so on. That's not what this is for. But God used that moment to inspire me through the power of His Holy Spirit to step into, according to His righteousness, the man, the dad, and the husband that God has called me to be. I believe that many of you are here at that crossroad, and I want to encourage you. And men, dads, and grandpas, if you're feeling very guilty because you failed in this area, I'm honestly here to help you. Call me. If you need help with any of this, if you need materials for your children, if you need materials for your grandchildren, call me. That's what I'm here for. Please. Please. And so as we rest in the completed work of Christ, it's so easy to just kind of allow this invisible stick to kind of beat us over the head, isn't it? I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not bright enough to understand this stuff about God's word. I don't understand half of it. It doesn't matter. Maybe God wants to reveal some things to you as you teach your children. Anyone who's a teacher knows what I'm about to say. Oftentimes, the teacher learns more than the students do when they teach. It's amazing, and it's a beauty and a wonder. And I remember teaching my kids one day, and I was actually in seminary, and we were using one of my seminary assignments, and it was reading through the Psalms, this section of Psalms. And so I'm like, well, if I got to do my homework, I might as well do it with my kids, right? So I did my homework with my kids, and we're reading through these Psalms, and we read it through it as a devotional, and it was really cool. And as I was sharing this thing, and something came out, and we were talking about how God works, I remember my kids just kind of like, yeah, that's kind of nice. And I remember myself inside going, wow, I never heard that before. And it's amazing the blessing and privilege it is. You are growing as your children are growing in Christ. God is actually knitting you together as a family through the Word of God. What a blessing and an honor and a privilege. At the end of this month, my granddaughter is due on the 30th of October. Now, I have the honor and the privilege of being a grandpa who teaches and trains my granddaughter in the Word of God. Tim, you talk about this all the time. I got to be honest. When you first come and talk to me about your grandchildren, I was kind of like, yeah. But I get it now, though, so I'm sorry. I get it now. I'm like, this is going to be great. And I'm so excited because it's a girl. I had four boys. I love my four boys. I love them dearly, and I'm proud of them. And can I tell you, as a parent, there is nothing more rewarding than seeing your children follow the Lord. I'm going to tell you something. On your deathbed, you will not say, oh, I wish I would have worked more. You will not say, oh, I wish I would have binged more on Netflix. You will not say that. What you'll say is, I wish I devoted more time to God, His holy word, and teaching my children and grandchildren. That's what you're going to say. However, today, as God leads us in a loving way to a crossroads, today, if you hear His voice, the voice of Jesus calling, do not harden your heart. Do not harden your heart, as so many people do. Be inspired in the power of your Holy Spirit to become the person you've been called to be while you're resting in the completed victory of Christ Jesus, reminding yourself that you are forgiven of all past, present, and future sins as a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let that inspire you like the calf leaving the stall. Be excited about this. Today's a new day. God is a God of second chances. The next thing that's important to keep as the Word of God is central in our home is to foster an environment of worship within your home. What do you mean by that? I don't mean that you got to learn how to play guitar and you know, sing kumbaya in a circle or anything like that. But what I'm saying is that you are excited about God's holy word yourself. One of the things that struck me in seminary, and it kind of happened in home, that as I began to learn more about God's word, I started to get excited. It's kind of like sports. So I played hockey. And hockey kind of stinks when you're not very good. It actually kind of hurts. It really does. But the better you get at it, the more fun it is. It's like any sport. Volleyball, softball, baseball, football, everything. You know, as you get better at it, it's more fun. And can I tell you that as a pastor and gone through my master's and I have all that, the Word of God actually becomes more and more fun even still. And there's an excitement there. But again, I prayed for it. I didn't have it naturally. I prayed for it. God, give me this. And God gave it to me. He gave me that excitement for His Word. And that excitement, my kids see it. I don't hide this. This isn't an act. They know I get excited about the Holy Word of God. And can I tell you, that probably preaches the loudest sermon that you can preach. That you have a genuine excitement for God's Word and the salvation of Christ Jesus. And the older I get and the more I learn about God's Holy Word, the more excited I get to say, when the Son sets me free, I am free indeed. If you ever get tired of that statement, you need to talk to somebody. You need to ask yourself, why? Because either you don't believe it, or you don't agree with it. But if you believe it, and you believe that Jesus truly rose from the dead, and if you truly believe that Jesus, through His life, death, and resurrection, has forgiven all past, present, and future sins, if you believe that, when you make that proclamation, when the Son sets you free, something in your spirit just fires you up. I'm not naturally like this. I'm quiet and I'm reserved. But there's something remarkable about God's holy word, and there's something remarkable about what Jesus did for me. And it becomes personal. Let your kids see that. I don't always pray in secret. There's times I just kind of pray around the house. And I remember a couple times my kids would walk in like, oh, you're praying, you know. And a lot of times as I had to learn for Greek, I prayed a lot. And I remember Andrew used to come in. He was 5 years old. And he's like, Dad, are you Greeking? I'm like, yep, I'm trying to Greek. I'm trying. I felt like I was more driving in the fog. But it's amazing that how I prayed and sought the will of the Lord, that fog began to dissipate. And so many of you might feel that way, that as you read God's holy word, it's kind of foggy, and you can't really see too far in front of you. That's okay, you keep going. The fog will clear. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and prayer, according to the holy word of God, God will clear the fog, and He will reveal to you His holy will. I believe in my heart of hearts, it is God's greatest desire to make us as dads understand God's word to a degree where we get genuinely excited about this. Amen, men? All right. The next thing that's really important, I believe, to keep God's word central in our homes is to have a genuine excitement for your child or your grandchild's spiritual growth in Christ. If you have children or grandchildren, hey, what are you studying in Sunday school? If you got a child or grandchild going through confirmation, hey, what's this week's lesson? What scripture are you using? What's your memory verse? Show a genuine excitement. Don't put on an act. This is an I get to moment. I get to encourage my kids. What are you learning? I love when my kids go to camps and they go to Fly, or they go to Pickerel Lake and they do these camps. I ask them, what's your takeaway? What was the one thing that God spoke to you on? And I love hearing about it. I love hearing about that. And I get excited for them, and it's a genuine excitement, but that encourages them. And the message it sends to each one of my kids is like, wow, he really cares about my spiritual growth. He's concerned about me and my faith in Christ Jesus. Do I do this perfectly? No, I don't. But I do it, and I am excited to do it. My greatest desire in this life is not leading hundreds of people through pastoral ministry to Christ. Though, if God does that, that's great. Can I tell you that that's really not that important to me? And this is going to sound a little harsh. Can I tell you what the most important thing to me is? Is that my four boys follow Christ all the days of their life. Period. That is the most important thing to me. And I do this preaching the gospel, becoming the husband that God has called me to be, becoming the dad, and now the grandpa that God has called me to be, and then the pastor thing. And so my call as a dad is to be the spiritual leader of my home, to foster a genuine excitement for my child and my grandchild's growth. Every one of my sons, I've had moments in confirmation where we were brought to tears in a moment, what I call aha moments, where something clicked and something in the Word of God is like, bang. And I remember them very vividly, and I oftentimes, if I think about it, I am actually brought to tears because it was such a precious moment that I wouldn't trade for anything. Rest in the completed work of Christ. Foster an environment of worship within your home. It's an I get to always. It's never an I have to. Don't make it an I have to. You make it legalism. You're not operating in the freedom of Christ. You're not acting like that calf being released from the stall. It's always an I get to. And if it's only an I get to and not an I want to, pray that it becomes an I want to. Pray for it. God will honor it. He did in me. The final thing that I believe is important in keeping God's word central in our home is consistency. Consistency. Be as consistent as you can. Everyone struggles with this, including me. But I do my best to find an opportunity to keep God's word central in our home. During the school year, I love doing devotions in the morning, even if it's a passing, fleeting moment. There was one day where all of us woke up late, including me. And as the guys were getting ready and getting their stuff on, they were halfway out the door, and I just ran over and I grabbed them and I hugged them. I prayed for them, laid my hands on them, and sent them out the door. I love that. I wouldn't trade those moments for anything. It's important to me. I love it. I absolutely love it. It's an honor and a privilege to read the Word of God to my children, to pray with them. And so may we, in the power of God's Holy Spirit, rest in the completed work of Christ. Allow that freedom to inspire you and empower you to become the parent, grandparent, aunt, uncle, friend that God has called you to be. Whether you're single or whether you're married, we can all grow in this area, making the Lord the most important person in our home and His Word the most central and important thing in our home. Rest in the completed work of Christ. Don't do this as a guilt and shame. Do it as a praise, act of praise and worship. Do it as a response of faith, motivated by love because of what Jesus has accomplished for you. Be like the calf in the stall. Pray that you become like that calf released from the stall. Allow that grace and mercy to lead you in those wide open spaces and the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. Rest in the completed work of Christ. Foster an environment of worship within your home. Show a genuine excitement for the spiritual growth of your child and your grandchild's faith. Niece, nephew, cousin, etc., fill in the blank. Show a genuine excitement for that, and then be consistent, because the Lord is worthy. Amen? The Lord is worthy. Consistency speaks volumes, even if they're not listening. There's days where the kids are eating cereal and they didn't hear a word I said. I don't care. I just want that time with them. Because the Word of God is powerful. They might not be listening to every single word, but I know that their spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit is doing something in their hearts. The consistency is important. Listen to your children. Be humble. Be gracious. I'll share you a story. And actually, it was Samuel who did this, my second oldest. There was a time when I was doing devotions where I started to get frustrated because it didn't seem like they cared or that they were paying attention. And in a righteous display of godly anger, my son got mad at me. Children, I'm giving you permission to, in a biblical way, encourage your parents to do this. Samuel biblically got mad at me, and he looked at me. He goes, "Don't you dare say that. This is the most important part of my day. So don't think they're not listening." Because a lot, oftentimes, they are. God's word is worthy. It is powerful. It will not return void. God's word will haunt your children to the day they die, and that's a good thing. God is a persistent pursuer. Why? Because he loves us. But can I tell you, as parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends and neighbors, God does love us just the way we are because of what Christ Jesus has done, but he loves us too much to leave us that way. Allow your heart to be inspired and encouraged here this morning to become the person that God has called you to be. But I pray with all of my heart you would do so resting and trusting in the freedom of Christ Jesus. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Lord, I thank you for this time and I thank you for this encouragement. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in and through our lives. I pray that you would be the most important person in our home. Lord, if there's things we need to examine that's getting in the way of that, maybe it's sports, maybe it's video games, maybe it's our career. Lord, I pray that we would examine our hearts and be inspired to make you the most important person in our home and to make the Lord's word, your word, the most central thing in our home. Empower us to do that in your spirit. May we do this as an I get to and hopefully an I want to and never as an I have to. And may we do so as an act of worship to a holy God who is worthy because of what Christ Jesus has done. I pray these things in Christ's precious name, and all of God's people said,